Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I'm your host, Ali Samani, and this is the career development home for all current as well as former professional athletes. We're really excited today because our special guest is the author of the book, In the Land of Giants, My Life in Basketball. He was selected 12th overall in the 1987 NBA draft by the Washington Bullets, had a 14-season-long career in the NBA playing for the Washington Bullets, Golden State Warriors, Toronto Raptors, as well as the Charlotte Hornets, and is the shortest player to play the game in the history of the NBA. He also played for the U.S. national team in 1986 and won the FIBA World Championship as a gold medalist. Played four seasons at Wake Forest. We're super excited to have him. He's currently the head coach at United Faith Christian Academy for the boys basketball team. Mr. Muggsy Bowes, how are you doing today, man?
Pretty good. How's it going?
I'm doing really well, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we're really excited to share some of the stories that you have. You've had a very interesting journey. And one thing I actually forgot to mention is that you were actually the head coach of the WNBA Charlotte Sting. Is that right?
Yes, I was.
All right.
Fortunate enough to coach the ladies in the 07 season.
Absolutely. So you did 4 years at Wake Forest. Now, what did you study at Wake Forest?
Communication, believe it or not.
Okay. And did you, so I guess that really helped out when you're kind of going into coaching and kind of allows you to better articulate yourself?
Yeah, you got to be clear. You got to understand, you know, make sure that the kids understand what you're trying to explain. And, you know, because one thing can be confusing, especially when you're dealing with anyone. But, you know, communication was always something that was helpful to me because I was shy growing up and scared to speak, so it brought me out of my comfort zone.
Perfect. So with, you know, being selected 12th overall in the 87 NBA draft, you had a 14-season-long career in the NBA. When do you think you started to think about life after the game?
Well, I always thought about life after the game. You know, I always knew that my career of basketball wasn't going to make me, or wasn't going to allow me to play my entire livelihood. Back in my mind, not knowing that I was going to make it, you know, growing up, wanting to make it, you always felt like I had to have something in the, you know, something, a plan B to fall back on. And for me and my mom, and always stressed to me, you know, make sure that you can able to take care of yourself, you know, as a young man, as an adult. So I had to have other options because I couldn't hold my, put everything, all the eggs in one basket, hanging on basketball. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to choose Wake Forest University to go to, because I knew it was going to be a challenge for me off the court.
Absolutely. So did you finish your degree at Wake Forest?
I did.
That's fantastic, man. So now tell me, you know, did you invest in any businesses? Did you get involved in any projects while you were playing?
I was starting it towards the end of my career. I started to venture into real estate.
Okay.
That's something that kind of got me more interested in the business world. And I was fortunate to run into some good people that introduced me, you know, the right way and how to invest your money. Got into it in year 2000, around 98, 2000, and been in it ever since. You know, so it's been, you know, good for me and my family. Just been trying to, you know, do the smart things, the way I didn't put myself or my family in jeopardy, where we have a difficulty of feeding, you know, putting food on the table.
That's great, man. Now, did you have any role models, like outside of the game, from a business side or from a real estate side that you kind of, you know, followed along in your career while you were playing the game?
Well, when I was playing, you know, before I got to where I was or before I got to the NBA, you know, I had a good role model of a good person I can look up to was my high school coach.
Okay.
You know, he was a former professional football player, Coach Bob Wade, played with Pittsburgh for a spell. But he came back to the community in Baltimore and instilled into some young men the value of life as well as how to conduct yourself as a student athlete and how to conduct yourself as a young man and going forward to provide for your family, you know, once you're able to get in that adult world. And having that as a young age and knowing that because we didn't have that father figure at that later part of our years, you know, I always kept that in the back of my mind and planned. And knowing him, he was a professional, and knowing how he was able to continue to have his family, and knowing how he's still able to be well-liked and well-represented, you know, that was something that I wanted to be, and I wanted to continue to do. And that's probably why I'm in high school coaching, you know, subconsciously following some of his footsteps. But, you know, going in the inner city and coming from where we came from, you know, I always wanted to make sure that once I did make it, if I did make it, I never will be a statistic.
That's awesome, man. That's a great story. Now, before we transition to post-retirement, I'd love to know, you know, like, we definitely get a chance to hear about the successes that you've had throughout your career, and you were playing for the famed Charlotte Hornets at the time, one of the most popular teams in the NBA, with Alonzo as well as Larry Johnson. Now, what do you think was one of the biggest mistakes you made off the court during your career, if you had any?
The biggest mistake off the court, you know, I don't want to say any, you know, because all the mistakes that I made, hopefully I learned from them. You know, and that's what life is about.
That's right.
Know, and the regrets. So, you know, I never did anything to the point to where, you know, I felt like, you know, I feel that, you know, that I'm so regretful for whatever it was. Again, I think hopefully I learned from it, and that's what life is. That's what life is about: growing, understanding. You know, your rights, your wrongs, and hopefully you can grow from it.
Exactly. Now, what do you think younger players should be aware of as they come into the league? Like, what types of advice or, you know, pitfalls that you may have seen some of your colleagues experience that they should be aware of?
Well, the young guys coming into the league, you know, first and foremost, you know, the excitement is still there. The adrenaline is flowing. You know, now you're in a position to do some unbelievable things for yourself and your family, you know, putting yourself on the net on another plateau. You just got to be careful how you know, now, and who are the people that you're trusting and the people that you're surrounding yourself, because as quickly as it comes, as quickly as it can go.
That's right.
And, you know, but once you know, and that's with the finances, but mainly with the basketball stuff, you still got to stay hungry, because one thing about the NBA, you can't take a deep breath because it's day to day. You got somebody constantly over your shoulders that's trying to take your position. And you all, it's all about service. It's all about what you do for me today, not what you can do for me tomorrow. I mean, yesterday. So I would tell them, just understand it, learn from a vet, go in there not knowing that you know everything. You know, keep your, you know, be a sponge, soak everything up, and enjoy that fantasy with life, because that's exactly what it is. It's a fantasy life.
Exactly. Now, how did you get into coaching in terms of, you know, after the game, your first stint was with the Charlotte Sting with the WNBA. Did you have any contacts within the league, or is this like something that kind of just fell into your lap?
Well, basically that, you know, I always felt like I always been a coach. You know, my position that I played, the extension of the coach, you know, I always ran the ball club. I then wasn't one of those type of players that looked over to the coach and see what we had to run. I had a great feel for the game, and the coach always gave me that type of leadership and that type of authority to go ahead and do that. So I always felt like I understood the game to that degree, knowing how every position operates, knowing the responsibility what comes with every position, knowing the responsibility what that point guard is. So, you know, when Tap Scott, who was the president of the organization at the time, Ed Tap Scott, called me and asked me would I take over the women's basketball. And at the time in my life, you know, it was perfect. You know, I enjoyed basketball. I never coached women. But basketball is basketball, and they was professionals. And I had a great time working with the ladies. They showed me another side of the game, you know, even though the game for them is more fundamentally as opposed to athletic. But you do have a lot athletic women start to enter into the league. You got Duncan now, you know, so that's where the game has gone. But right. Trita was, you know, continue to work with them and continue to show them the size of the game and help them get better. And it changed their morality at that time, you know, when I took over. So, you know, that's mainly how it all happened, you know, when Tap called me. And that's where that coaching started to you know, that's where it stemmed from. But I never was chasing, you know, a coaching job, but I always wanted to coach. I had an opportunity to try to coach with the Bobcats one day. So we're hoping we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, man, I wish you the best of luck on that. And so in terms of transitioning, did you experience any challenges when you were transitioning from the game to life after the game?
Well, for me, it wasn't. And, you know, that's, I guess for some people it's hard for them. For me, you know, I never had an inkling or a scratch to where when I left the game, I felt like, you know, I left it too soon. I wanted to go back. I wanted to come out of retirement. And, you know, I missed it to the point to where I had to be around it all the time. I just couldn't. You know, I didn't miss it that way. I just appreciate what I walked away. And I just appreciate, you know, what I've done. And looked at it as that and then looked back, you know, and just appreciate the talent that was, you know, that was laid in front of us. And, you know, was enjoying the new talent, you know, the Chris Pauls, the Derrick Rose, and, you know, well, actually at that time, you know, it was kind of younger players then, you know, with the Van Axels and all of them.
Right.
But it was a good time. It was a good run. I didn't look back. I didn't hang my head. I'm not the one that still, you know, wish he was playing today. My knees couldn't stand it anyway.
Okay. Now, how do you like your current position, and how did you get to your current position as the head coach of United Faith?
Well, another thing just fell in my lap. You know, I've been looking out for a young man who's about to go to Indiana University, Peter Jerkins. And his coach got let go this fall, and the headmaster called me and asked me would I consider taking over. And I didn't want the kid to transfer, because the kids were talking about transferring their final year, and Peter was a senior, and he would have had to go somewhere else finish his senior year, and that was then a little inconvenient for him, and then I just didn't want to have him. So I just kind of committed myself for the 3.5-4 months to go ahead and coach the team. And once I got into coaching, I mean, I really enjoyed the kids. I mean, they're some very coachable kids. They was eager. They're eager to learn the game. Always knew that, you know, that the kids still didn't understand, didn't have enough fundamentals in their game, and continue how to polish their game and how to get better. You know, so that information that I was able to share with them, I believe it was very helpful for them. So, and we had a good season. We're having a good season. It ain't over yet. And it's really a good treat to be working with some talented kids. I got one of my kids, one of my point guard, whose name is Braxton Obese. He's going to Florida University this upcoming year.
Oh, wow.
In 2012.
Okay.
So he's another big-time player. So, and then I got my other singer, my three singers on the team, Zach Davis. He's going to UNC Asheville University this year. So all my three seniors are signed. Like I said, Peter's going to Indiana University, and Braxton going to Florida, and Zach going to UNC Asheville. And then my underclassmen, you know, they going to be something to be reckoned with.
Right, most definitely, man. Really appreciate it. And I guess the last piece of, you know, last bit of our show is kind of a pay it forward moment where you get to speak with, our guest gets an opportunity to speak with, you know, some of the current and aspiring professional athletes that are out there, to just describe, you know, one key bit of advice that you think would be really useful to them as they transition out of the game and build their life outside of the game.
Well, for one, hopefully that they have that exit plan, you know, sometime placed in their back of their mind, because you got to have that, you know. And the transition is going to be hard for a lot of athletes. You know, I've seen it happen to the best of them. They come out the game and they miss the game. They miss that attention that comes from the game, not being, you know, looked upon as that celebrity and not treated the way that you used to be treated as a celebrity. And so, you know, dealing with that, egos get involved, and finances might not be in order in terms of certain situations. So things may not be just the same you know, once they, you know, remove themselves from their profession. And that could be tough for them, you know. And incomes now not coming in as the same. You're home every day now with the missus, where they used to you on the road at certain portions of the time. So, I mean, it's a lot of things that goes along with former athletes then once they retire. And that transition could be really difficult. And I don't think I could always say it. Just hopefully they got some type of, you know, foundation, meaning, you know, got God in their life ongoing. But mainly that they got a plan. You know, they got a plan and got people around them that they trust, that we're not always there for just to say yes, 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 but there for the right reasons and keep you in order to where, you know, you're not out there living beyond your means and just living within yourself. Life can be that much simpler and that much happier when you do put it in that type of format.
Fantastic advice, a fantastic interview. Muggsy, I really appreciate it, man. This has been a great little portion of our site, definitely a highlight for some of the interviews that we've done. Our guest, Muggsy Bogues, today, very special, and really appreciate your time today, man.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
We wish you the best of luck, man. Continued success.
Okay, you too.
Take care. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been the Post Game Plan with your host, Ali Samani. You can find me on Twitter at AlySoma, and I look forward to having another great show very soon. Take care, guys.